Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast, where we bring together the best medical minds, thought leaders, scientists, patients, and caregivers to inform and inspire the spondylitis community. I'm your host, Jill Miller, living my best spa life, knowing that how we meet today has the power to change everything going forward. Please note that the information provided in this podcast should not be considered medical advice. We do encourage all listeners to consult their healthcare professionals for medical concerns. Thank you for listening, and we hope you find our discussion today enlightening. Hi, and welcome to SpondyCast. Today, our guest is Tammy Dungan. She is a holistic wellness coach and founder of Limitless Ladies Network, LLC. After 3 years of suffering from debilitating Lyme disease and spondyloarthritis that landed her in a wheelchair, Tammy educated herself through the AFPA, or American Fitness Professionals Association, autoimmune holistic nutrition, and Eat for Life programs, where she implemented holistic nutritional changes and lifestyle adjustments to successfully gain her strength, mobility, and well-being. Most recently, she completed her certification as a menopause coaching specialist. As a board member of the Seroptimist International of Willimantic, she is an avid advocate for women and young girls. She has led the Dream It, Be It program and Live Your Dream Scholarship program. Both of these encourage and promote positive self-awareness and advocacy. The organization also provides scholarships and grants to women in need so that they may better live their lives through education. Her struggles empowered her to learn all she could to serve women suffering from similar afflictions. The Limitless Ladies Network was launched in 2024 to pursue her passion for educating and serving women on how to improve their physical, mental, and emotional well-being. Tammy, I feel like we're kindred spirits already.
I agree. This is awesome. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, welcome. Okay, so, and I love the name. I love Limitless Ladies. One of my mantras for 2024 was be limitless.
I love it. We're definitely kindred spirits then.
Yeah. So tell me, you have a journey with Lyme disease and spondyloarthritis. How did all that unfold, and what inspired you to start Limitless Ladies?
So my journey started basically in 2019. I had been working for about 15 years for a startup company where I kind of rose up through the ranks. I did a lot of travel at that time. I was doing corporate trainings, online, in person. I was meeting, because I kind of had moved up into senior management at the company, so I was meeting with them monthly down south, kind of traveling for them. So I was managing a team, and things just kind of got really intense. And it was just before COVID hit, of course. And things, just the stress level that I was under with all the travel and everything, just got to be a bit much. And unbeknownst to me, I actually was kind of in menopause at that time, or the beginning stages of menopause. So my hormones were going crazy as well, and it just exacerbated some of my stress. I wanted to kind of step back a little bit at that time, and my husband and I decided that we were going to start a mobile stand-up paddleboard business. So
a mobile stand-up what?
Paddleboard business.
Oh, yay. Okay.
Yes. So super exciting. But again, I'm in the Northeast, so our season lasted for about 2 months, really 3 months, because you figure, we got a lot of snow and it's pretty cold. So we started our mobile stand-up paddleboard business because we both love being out on the water. I wanted to spend more time with my family, and it just seemed perfect. So we converted a trailer. We put 20 paddleboards in there. We were doing rentals. We started out kind of slow, and then COVID hit, and it actually got great for us because people wanted to be out on the water. They could be 6 feet apart. It was amazing. So the business was doing really, really well that very first season. But towards the end of the season, I remember being out on the water and I was paddling, and I kind of felt this burning sensation from my wrist, my finger, all the way up to my neck. Well, I went from sitting for 12 hours a day because I worked remote to moving 12, 14 foot paddle boards and paddling for miles and washing them. And it was just like from one extreme to the other. And I still had to continue with my new business that I started. So went through the season and kept going through as much as I could. And then by the end of the season, I was like, all right, now I can focus on myself and I have to go to the doctor and figure out why I can't turn my head to the left and why like I'm having severe pain in my back. So I started down with my regular practitioner and had to get referrals, of course. They did some blood work because they suspected that maybe I did have Lyme disease. They said, nope, didn't have Lyme. And then they said, okay, well, there are issues with your back, so let's go to a back specialist. Issues with your knee, issue with your ankle, so we're going to send you to this specialist and to that specialist. So I was kind of, you know, doing this circuit of specialists for quite some time and just getting really frustrated, but literally with no answers. I went to a back specialist and they were like, yeah, you have, you know, a bony island, which is a bone chip from my spine that's right. Just floating there. We can't do surgery, but, you know, you're fine. We can just give you some pain medication. And I was like, nope, that's okay. So I went to the next specialist and things just kind of progressed and not really getting any answers per se. So the practitioner or my primary care doctor basically had said, okay, well, the Lyme results came back as negative and I'm not really sure quite what to do. So we're going to send you to a rheumatologist because where, you know, you're complaining of all of these ailments that just are not making any sense and no one can find a root cause. So fast forward and I go to the rheumatologist and they do some blood work. And at the same time, I got frustrated and said, all right, I want to try the holistic approach. So there are some holistic naturopaths near me. So I approached them as well because I had seen one before. So I kind of did a dual path for a little while. And the rheumatologist saw me, and I actually saw the assistant of the rheumatologist. And she was like, yep, we're going to do some blood work. That came back. I had the marker for spondyloarthritis. So they put me on some medication. And then when I went to the naturopath, they said, well, you have Lyme disease because the swelling would just not go down. Without even doing any blood work, they said, I had Lyme. And I was like, okay, but they did blood work anyway, very, very intense blood work.
Right.
And they came back and are like, okay, yep, you have like three different kinds of Lyme disease. And I said, okay. And he goes, well, one of them, he just looked at me very shockingly and said, I'm not even sure exactly how you got this one. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, it's just so rare. It's not even found in the United States. It's only found in like European countries. And I said, well, what countries were they that you're talking about? And he said, well, they were from Spain, France, England, Germany, and the Netherlands. And I was like, well, I've actually been to four of those five countries in the last 5 years out in gardens and things. And he's like, okay, so that makes sense. So that was a piece of the puzzle, but yet I was still in pain. So I'm seeing the rheumatologist and I'm on pain medication, and my primary also sent me to a physical therapist, which was helpful. I went to a chiropractor. She was somewhat helpful. So I was getting bits and pieces of help from different places, but the family decided to go to Disney towards the end of this. Cause this is like 8 months into my journey, right? That I'm just now starting to get some answers. So things were still, I was waking up every day and I felt like napalm basically had gone off in my body and I just couldn't move. I was in tears every day and something needed to be done. I go back and we're on vacation and I'm just in a wheelchair. I cannot walk around. And the family loved it because the kids got like first in line.
Yeah.
Every ride, it was like the best vacation of their lives. And for me, I was in a wheelchair. I stood every once in a while for pictures, but other than that, I was pretty much in the wheelchair. Yeah. And I got back on the plane and I was like, my ankle and everything was just black and blue swollen. My knee was swollen. And I'm like, this is just not right. Something is still not right. So I called the rheumatologist when I got back and said, look, I need to talk to the rheumatologist, not the, nurse practitioner or whoever. I need to talk to actually the guy who's in charge because I need some answers. And I'm not going to go on medication that's going to give me cancer. So they said, okay, they booked an appointment with the guy and he was great. He was very open-minded. He was, open to the idea that I went down the naturopathic path. And he said, okay, this is fine. You definitely have some injuries, but you also have this marker for spondyloarthritis. And we have to kind of work these things in tandem. So I loved that he was open-minded and he told me to basically, throw out a wide net. Don't care what it is. If the chiropractor helps you, if the naturopath helps you, if, acupuncture helps you, whatever it is, then do that because you need to be able to heal. I wasn't sleeping. I was under stress, of course, because I had this new business that wasn't launching. I kind of switched careers midterm. So insurances changed and it just got really, really like out of control. I finally was able to, kind of pull some things together, but it was very frustrating for me because it took nearly 3 years before I was able to wean myself off of medication, but it was a long journey. So Limitless Ladies Network was basically, birthed because I struggled so much to be able to find a practitioner and people that would listen to me. Because as I would go from specialist to specialist and spend thousands of dollars on MRIs and X-rays and blood work with no answers, I was just felt like, it was all in my head almost. They were almost saying that it was in your head, right? So here, we're going to throw you to the rheumatologist and give you some medication. And so I wanted to create something where women didn't have to struggle to find those practitioners and they could get some information. They could educate themselves on really what is spondyloarthritis? What is Lyme disease? It's not just from a tick bite,
So I went in the opposite direction though. Like I went through many years of not being diagnosed just like you did.
Yep.
And then on the afterward, I started and now run a startup. So like... but it's so interesting because like what you experience this like bopping around is so disheartening and so many women experience it. And I love that you're integrating, we'll get into that, but I love that you're integrating the menopause in there because.
Yes, because you don't realize, it's that like the taboo, it's becoming more and more mainstream now,
really?
But yeah. Even for me, as I was learning this stuff, and I was very premature in my menopause stage, right? I was 45 and I started, like I was in menopause, like that's very young. And a lot of it is stress,
Yeah.
Crazy things.
So Limitless Ladies, just give us a quick overview of what your structure is and what you guys, offer, because I think it's probably aligned. I mean, it's aligned with what we all need, like the listeners and stuff.
So Limitless Ladies Network is actually something that just came to me one day. Like I kept thinking I was going to do this holistic wellness coaching because that's something that I really wanted to do was directly impact women so that they could feel better and know that there's something other than just Western medicine and going to a doctor and getting a prescription that is going to, then give you more side effects that you need more medication for. So I was trying to come up with a name and all of a sudden it was like Limitless Ladies Network because I want a network of women. I want us all to know that we're just not alone and that there are a lot of practitioners out there. So that's what I came up with. And, I created the directory of women and all the women that are currently on my directory, I have seen in one way, shape or form. So I truly believe that they are there to help. They would listen to me. They were very empathetic and they really did help me heal because they understood from a woman's perspective what needed to be done and what I was really struggling with, even if they hadn't been through Lyme disease or have spondyloarthritis, but they were there to help. So the directory is just a listing of women that I know and I would love other women to be able to use to help them. And then myself out there as a wellness coach to be able to help people mostly with some diet, some sleep. Holistically, it's all lifestyle changes that right. you have to go through. And then webinars and events that I'm doing as well. Again, education to women so that they feel empowered and they can go out and they can really advocate for themselves.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. And it's the, you talk at times about the sustainability of our bodies, right? I mean, I think it's a yoga teacher who talks a lot about the efficiency of which even when we have, he's familiar with my spondyloarthritis, but even when we have something, the efficiency with which we use our human resource, and which means, and I'd love your thoughts on it, but like maximizing our movement, being efficient with our movement, what we're diet, lifestyle, routine. But I'd love your thoughts on like, what are some practical things that make that, you know, what's the lowest hanging fruit, I guess, to start a sustainable change?
I would say for me, what I found most to be impactful actually was as simple as just journaling.
Oh.
So I found this great journal that, and then I kind of created one myself as well, but it literally was all the things that you do every day just automatically and don't think about. So how am I sleeping? What exactly am I eating? And what's going in my body and coming out of my body, as gross as it sounds, right? Like exactly what does that look like? And when you go to a naturopath, they actually will ask some of those questions.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what is your stress level? But how do you feel? So I tend to coach more on the side of not like you want to lose weight or specific numbers, but it's really about your quality of life and how do you feel? Because with foods, it can actually have an impact up to 72 hours later after you've eaten something. So wow. In some cases, you could eat something and right away, some people will feel flush. They might get a headache a little while after. But in some cases, it could literally be 3 days later that you ate something and now you're feeling bloated or you're constipated or your mood has changed. So that's why keeping that journal is something that you can just jot down all of these things and then refer back to it and see, yep, I did eat that. Or you can see some patterns possibly happening. But the benefit of that too is that when you go to the doctor, right, they might ask, how are you feeling? But it's a very generalized question. And so if you have that journal and you can say, look, this is what I've literally been doing, how I'm not sleeping or how I am eating certain things and it's affecting me, then that might play into the treatment plan that they're going to do for you.
Yeah, for sure. And I appreciate that you're, you know, like when we talk about some of the holistic side of medication or medicine, the way that there is a protocol, right, of like, what's going on with the systems in your body and is what you're putting in coming out appropriately. And so I love that idea. And I, when your rheumatologist told you like, whatever works, right? Like most of it is not going to harm you. Right. So it's a non-harming action.
Right.
And everybody should check with their provider. Asterisk, but it's a non-harming action that really, I know I experienced as well. I mean, my rheumatologist was like, I got some woo-woo ideas. None of them are going to kill you. Let's try them. And but it was life-changing. And I think you also mentioned, right, like the treating of the treatments when you sometimes go through that. And like in your journey and like as you are coaching people, how do you integrate some of the journey of like the physical and emotional wellness for women?
So integrating holistically to anyone, everyone's on their own journey for wellness. And every aspect of someone's life is so unique, from their emotional well-being to their physical to, you know, just everything that's happening around them and their environment that they're in. So it's really a collaborative approach where working with each one to see truly what are their goals. You know, some people are okay with taking a lot of medications, but they just want to be able to move a little bit better, or, you know, they want to get off their medication. Like me, I didn't want to be on medication. So it's really kind of working with them, and then also making sure that anyone that they are working with on that team is also going to be informed too. But it is a collective process to go through to make sure that they are basically all in one in the best well-being that they could possibly be. So their physical state, that they are moving, and their emotional state, that they are not having negative self-talk, right? That they are not exposed to toxins and things like that, or toxic people. So just kind of doing a little 1% usually lasts longer, because it is a lifestyle change. It is not, you know, it's not a, hey, let's just cut this off today and we're going to feel better. You have to do incremental stages in order for it to really, really take effect. So I'm here just to kind of help them, coach them, and support them in that process.
Yeah. And some of it, it may not always feel like it, but I think it's growth. And growth can be one step at a time and a little bit painful at times.
It is.
Do you have a favorite moment or client that gave you feedback and had some really like transformational results?
So I kind of have two, actually. So there's one that I worked with for a while who was having some acid reflux, who was also having, you know, some aches and pains, not really officially diagnosed with like spondyloarthritis, but arthritis symptoms, right? And that particular person was just struggling day to day with reflux and all these other things. So it was basically, you know, affecting their daily life. And we worked to change the diet. And this person was great on, you know, you should eat this. So eat clean, you remove toxins, eliminate processed foods, you know, and was great on that aspect of things. But this person was also very addicted to coffee. So I was like, you know, you could reach that final stage of probably really feeling better if we could try to eliminate coffee. And I was like, no, can't do that. And then I got to the point where every morning that person was having symptoms of spondyloarthritis like I was. And I was like, maybe we really do want to try this. Try it for a couple days, you know, go through the detox process basically. And after 3 or 4 days, it was like they felt amazing. It was no more pain waking up in the morning or at night, could sleep better, was able to move better, lost some weight even, and just felt awesome. And I was like, okay, that was the final 1% we needed to get to in order to really feel that difference, right? And then the other story is of a woman that I met, and she had some really bad rheumatoid arthritis. So, you know, she's older, had some, you know, big knuckles, very stiff joints, trouble moving around, but she was yet very active and a strong, strong woman. She would generally look at pain in the face and just laugh. I mean, she was a strong-willed woman, but she was taking medication for her arthritis, like some severe medications. And she was kind of at that point where she was just really frustrated and wanted to get rid of them. So after we spoke, you know, I gave her some suggestions on things that she could change from her diet, and she immediately like went and eliminated the things that we talked about. And within a couple weeks, she was feeling amazing. She's like, I feel so young and fantastic. And I thought, that is just such a success story.
Yeah.
And she actually was going to the same rheumatologist that I went to. And so she asked me to go to her rheumatology appointment. And I thought, I would love to go to your rheumatology appointment and like share the story. I think it's great. So we showed up at the appointment, and of course her doctor was surprised to see me because I had already been discharged for a while. And, you know, he's asking, so how are you feeling? And she's literally dancing around the office. She's like, I feel great. I feel 20 years younger. And it's all because, you know, she helped me with some changes that I made. And he's like, well, that's fantastic, but, you know, how are you with your medication? And she said, I'm not taking my medication. And we both just looked at each other, and I was like, and the doctor said, well, I don't think that's a very good idea. I think that you probably want to consider retaking those because you're going to hit a wall. And I thought, oh, that I did not know that. So we left the office. You know, she's like, well, I'm just going to see how this goes. You know, I feel great and we'll just see. I'll hit that if I hit the wall. And we left the office and I said, you know, I really probably recommend, I would recommend that you probably try to stay on a little bit of that because if you do hit that wall, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I'm just feeling good and I'm just going to ride it out and see what happens. Well, fast forward a couple weeks later, she hit the wall pretty hard. So the moral to that story is, you know, you can make those changes, but it's again not going to happen overnight. And you do need to wean yourself off of any medications. I was on a stack of medications for sleep, for stress, for pain. I was probably on like 12 different medications. And so I know that you have to work with your doctor in order to truly be able to, you know, wean them off. It's not a one and
Yeah.
done. And it did take me like 3 years.
Oh, I remember my I was there was a day where, and this was pre, no, it was probably right after the year after, year and a half after diagnosis. I think there was about eight medications, and then I was having a side effect, and they said, well, we're going to give you this to treat the side of, and I was done. I was like, I'm done, and I'm not going to a doctor except the rheumatologist ever again. I was like, but I can remember, like, I just read, like reading up and trying to wean myself off of like a couple of things. I wasn't on, I was on like a non-opioid pain medication, but there was one that I was on, and it was like your brain would like freak out if you stopped. It was crazy.
Oh my God.
And I'm not saying medication is bad, but like it's for me at some point it was like too much. And
I
yeah, but
agree. There's definitely a place for Western medicine and holistic medicine. They just
totally.
have to be able to work together because I don't know if I would have been able to get through all the lifestyle changes that I incrementally had to put in place without some of those high dose medications, right?
Right.
But my rheumatologist too was like, hey, throw out a wide net, smoke some pot if you want. And I'm like, well, where do I get some of that?
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to do what you got to do in order to get through it.
Yeah. It's so how is she doing today?
So she is doing better. She started her medications back up again and she's up and moving around again and knows that she has to do it slowly. It
Yeah.
has to be a slow process in order to change what she's doing. And it's a lifestyle change, you know? It really is.
Yeah. I often think it anymore, especially as we get older, everything you change, whatever you change takes 6 months to settle in. And along the way, I mean, I guess that leads to my next question. Like along that journey, you developed like a community-based support network. How do you see that helping people on the journey, as especially like going through a change or trying to like muddle through the.
Muddle through all the chaos and
Yeah.
the emotional trauma that you're going under. Community is really important. Family, friends. I had a couple of close friends that I would lean on. My husband was like my rock. And, you know, having that community is really, really helpful. Just knowing that you're not alone in it goes a long way. It was mainly through COVID that a lot of this stuff was happening to me. So I couldn't really see people, right? I could just get on the
Yeah.
phone or do a video call or something, which was great. Mentally, for myself, though, I feel like loving yourself and giving yourself that grace and support is actually the most important thing that you have to do versus trying to rely on somebody else for your own well-being. Because everyone again has their own journey that they're going through. And it's good to be able to have that support and be able to, you know, have somebody lift you up and do those things. But making sure that you're working on your own mental well-being is really, really critical in the process. So that's why I wanted to create and do free webinars for women to be able to watch some of our practitioners talk about essential oils or talk about, you know, bioenergetics, naturopathic therapies, just different things that can get people educated again so they can know that they're not alone, learn from somebody else, and be able to advocate for themselves.
And that advocacy piece, I think when you talk about, you said, right, like loving yourself. I mean, there's this concept too of when you're loving yourself, you're taking care of yourself a little better. You're, and it's hard, right? When you feel like garbage, it's exponentially harder, I think, with an autoimmune and inflammatory disease. But that advocacy, I think, throughout in all of your relationships, it permeates. You have to be your own advocate. Do you see, like, what would you advise women in terms of like how to approach advocating? Because I think a lot of people struggle with it and the getting their voice.
They do. It is definitely a challenge when you have an autoimmune disease to try to speak up for yourself when you're not feeling well. I would say to find your voice is really to educate yourself, one, on whatever disease it is that you have, so that you can walk into an office and ask some really good questions and to challenge the doctor. I'm the type of person that has learned not to take the first doctor's diagnosis necessarily. And I don't care if I have to pay outside of pocket half the time, I do anyway with health insurance. So I would always look for a second opinion. I would recommend that if they don't feel that they have a strong enough voice, that they look for that advocate in either a family member or a friend or somebody just close enough that knows, right? I've been an advocate for my family, some of my friends, you know, like this woman, I just kind of went to her doctor's appointment, right? Sometimes you need to step away from the emotional portion of it, and it's hard to do when you're in pain, to be able to ask those educated questions and kind of push the envelope and challenge them in things that they may not be thinking, or that you want to try like medical marijuana, right? Like if I didn't push that, then I wouldn't have got a script to get it, kind of thing. Not that right. I really used a lot of it, but so I would say that, you know, get an advocate if you can't find your voice. Journaling again back about your symptoms, that helps you to be an advocate, because you can say, look, I'm feeling like this after I do a certain activity, or I eat a certain food, or I've been exposed to, you know, some chemical or something, or where I'm sitting at work, I don't feel very good, but when I go home, I feel better. Like there's all these different environmental things, but having that journal to refer to allows you to be able to reflect on it, but also share it with your doctor and say, you know, this is truly how I'm feeling. Cause they ask a general question and you're like, oh, I feel okay. Not really. When you look at it, you know, and write down questions before you get to the doctor's office. Cause the insurance company generally covers about 15 minutes for an appointment. So if you don't get your 15 minutes worth in, then you're pushed out the door. Right. So if you have your list of questions, you're not feeling rushed. You can actually go in there and ask and get through all of them and kind of force them to answer all of your questions before they're trying to get you out the door.
Yeah, listen, the way you're talking about this, so I have to tell you what's going on in my head, and you'll appreciate this, is we need, as when you mentioned bringing someone else in, right? Because it becomes emotional, or you're like charged and you're not delivering your, like your case, if you will, to some of these doctors, or your story. And it makes me think like we need like a CEO or a COO of our, right, of our management.
Right.
And someone who can take all that and help us distill it, maybe, and is not emotionally linked to like what you're feeling. Well, they can be empathetic. But for someone to distill all those things down, cause I struggled with that, and I would sit in these appointments, and I had one doctor who was like, you just need to take some anti-anxiety medicine and get over it. And
I know. Like, they make you feel like you're losing your mind and it's all in your head, and it's really not.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that day I was like, what you are telling me is not what the DSM-IV says. Like,
I know. You have to get so mad at the system or the person in order to finally find your voice sometimes. And it's unfortunate that it gets to that point.
Yeah.
But I agree. Being able to advocate for ourselves and or find somebody that is passionate about you and wants to fight for you and making sure that your health and your well-being is the primary thing. And the one thing too that sometimes happens is when you're emotional, you just forget about certain things that you're taking or that you are doing something and you injured yourself or something, and maybe that's why you have that pain or you experience something, right, that you just might forget. So it's good to have that second person there.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also, I think it's the what you hear back from the doctor.
Yes.
Or the provider. Because in the moment too, we're also like receiving that. And sometimes we're, I think having a little bit of calm in between or a buffer probably just translates some of it.
Yeah. Or when you're hearing things back and it's to you and you're just in this state of shock and awe or stress of what they're telling you, right? Like the doctor saying, okay, I can give you more medication or different medication that's going to cause you cancer. And I'm like, what? Then you're like, well, what do I know? We can't do that, right? So it is good to have that person that's there to be able to ask those follow-up questions to know, here are some things that you should be able to do. Take down notes. I always recommend that you get your doctor's visit notes, especially if you're going from specialist to specialist to specialist, because then you can bring them with you and say, this is what I've already done. Right. It's the follow-up too. That's important. Because you could miss out on really important instructions of your care because you are so emotional. You just didn't catch it.
Yeah. And I know like SAA, we did a survey on like medical gaslighting. And it happens, right? Like it happens. I think it happens sometimes unintentionally, sometimes like, I'm just not going to hear what you're saying because that's not what I was trained to know. Yeah. And I, what I actually do love about rheumatology is it's a little bit of like a detective work. And I think we're getting better in the rheumatology side of things to help people along the journey. And I don't know if that's in every specialty. But what do you do when someone feels super isolated and they don't want to engage along the way?
I mean, the first thing is really just to tell them that they're not alone, right? They have to be able to engage and come out of their shell. And it was like my darkest of days, really, when I was suffering, because at one point it was so bad. It would take me 20 minutes to get from upstairs to downstairs. And I came down for breakfast one morning and I sat down and I had already been crying, but my husband made breakfast of like scrambled eggs. I couldn't even open my jaw to eat it. And I was like, the fear set in of, oh my gosh, I'm becoming a mummy. I literally am mummified overnight. And how is this happening? So just knowing that you're not alone is helpful. But getting out, I think it's a little easier now. Obviously, we're all not stuck at home. But doing some things and forcing yourself just to get out to the library, go to sit in a book club. And there are groups, like I'm sure there are, you know, peer groups to talk about some of this stuff too, which can be helpful because you want to know that you're not alone. But I just caution people as well that sometimes you can almost go down a negative path because you're so focused on your symptoms and your chronic illness that it's hard to see beyond that and know that you actually can try to help yourself feel better because your mental capacity of how your body is reacting to things has a serious impact. So if you're constantly thinking negative symptoms, negative emotions, you're bringing that to yourself. But if you put out there that you're feeling better, that you are going to, you know, have a great day today, that your muscles, you're going to be able to move, your joints are going to be free and flowing, right? That actually can put some intentions out and forward in front of you.
Yeah.
To help you move and get over things. Yeah. So
yeah, we had Jana Lomax, who's a psychologist, on last year, maybe. And she was someone who did a talk for SAA at one of the patient engagement days. And she did an entire long, it was like an hour, on preventing the acute from becoming the chronic. It was really fascinating, but I think that's some of what you're talking about is the management. And we know it's difficult to manage at times it can be very difficult to manage this disease.
It is devastating, that I know firsthand. I mean, as do you, right? I actually read something recently in a book where they were talking, and it was from a holistic therapist, which I thought was, or psychologist, which was very interesting. And he talked about a guy who had gone to his office. He was a younger gentleman who had gone in to the doctor's office, and he was diagnosed with throat cancer, like a very rare throat cancer. And he gave him like 3 months to live. And so fast forward, like, you know, about a month later or so, and he's supposed to go back for his appointment. Well, the guy ended up dying. And so they do an autopsy on him and come to find out there was no cancer in him at all. So as shocking as that is, right, that mentally either the doctor misdiagnosed or got the wrong results or something, whatever happened there. But it just goes to show that you could be a completely healthy person and deteriorate very quickly just from what your thoughts are. It's very powerful.
What was the cause of that? Do you know?
I don't, it didn't say in the book, no. But it was like a cliffhanger. But yeah, I thought that was very interesting.
That is, I mean, I'm a firm believer in moving from dis-ease to ease is like one of the, and it's a journey. Like when you feel like garbage, it can be a long journey. Mm-hmm. And I know that is something that, like, this is why we need you, right? and Limitless Ladies. So yes. What, tell me about 2025. What's the game plan?
So for 2025, I am focusing on doing some in-person workshops because wanting to build out the community. At first it was building out some practitioners, trying to get my services out there a little bit more, but also just doing some community wellness programs and hopefully corporate wellness programs and workshops as well. And in the hopefully not too distant future would be doing some wellness retreats.
Oh, yay. I love that.
And always looking to add more practitioners to the directory as well and do more education on just various different topics with those webinars for women. So yeah, I'm excited.
So my final question, which is off the books, but what do you find most hopeful about the future for people with spondylitis?
That it is something that they can live with and not just have to survive from.
Oh.
So I have it. It's in remission. And I feel like I put it in remission, and that's not for everybody. So you might be so far along where you can do a whole lifestyle change and you're not going to be feeling like you're 20 years old, but you'll be able to thrive better. You'll have better quality of life. And that is what my hope is having women be able to just feel like they can thrive in some fashion. They're not just like struggling, trying to survive. They can live with it and live with the symptoms that they have, whether that be in full remission or it just be that they're more comfortable.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, this has been amazing. Thank you for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
I'm looking forward to getting an update on Limitless Ladies. I just love it. Like, I love the idea and the name.
Yeah.
And yeah, really good luck on that. And it's limitlessladiesnetwork.com.
It is. Right? Yep. Limitlessladiesnetwork.com. So they can go out there and check out all the free webinars that I have, and I'm trying to book out more for this year on various different topics. We even delve a little bit into, you know, safe dating topics. So I'm kind of all over a little bit, you know, but it's really important information that I kind of pull in a little bit from working with my Seroptimist group to educate women on some key things. So
I love it.
Free webinars and workshops and all kinds of good stuff coming. So I'm excited.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your work. We really appreciate you.
Thank you, Jill. It's a pleasure.
SpondyCast was made possible by donations from the Spondylitis Association of America's individual members and our show's corporate sponsor, AbbVie. Since our founding in 1983, the Spondylitis Association of America has been the face, voice, and leading nationwide nonprofit educating, empowering, and advocating for people living with spondyloarthritis. Through our extensive work with patients, the medical community, and partners, we provide information and resources to help people impacted by the disease live better lives and champion research to find a cure.